It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study the book of John, we need to keep in mind that Jesus Christ will be going to the cross shortly. And he's leaving his disciples, his apostles, with comforting words, and he's trying to let them know that things will be all right. And he's letting people know, in general, not only his apostles and his friends here that he's speaking to here, but he's letting us know that there are certain things that we need to be doing as saved people. And there's certain things that have happened in our lives as saved people that does not take place in other people's lives, people who do not know him as Savior. In fact, in verse 15 of John chapter 15, it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." This doesn't mean that we're not to be servants to each other, we're not to serve the world, and we're not to serve Christ. It simply says that we're on a higher plane with the Lord because we've trusted him as our Savior. We are not only his servant, but we are his friend, and he's our friend. And the Bible teaches us that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's closer than the closest relationship that we might have because he is our Savior. And he's not only one who has said that we need to go forth and serve him, but he's one who says that we are his friend and he's our friend. And I remind you that once again that we have become the children of God once we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He's our elder brother and he is our friend. In fact, we drop down now in verse 20. It says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Now, Jesus Christ also was persecuted. We know that. We know that he was persecuted as we studied the Word of God. People persecuted him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to do everything they could to silence the Lord. They persecuted him. But notice he says, not only did they persecute me, but they're going to persecute you as well. And people's going to make fun of us. They're going to ridicule us as saved people, but we need to keep on keeping on because we're no greater than our Lord Jesus Christ, and he was persecuted. So therefore, we count it all joy when we are persecuted. That may seem strange, but we're to thank the Lord for anything that comes into our lives that would seem to be a persecution. And of course, we need to thank him for all things that come into our lives, the good things as well. Notice it says, once again, in verse 20, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." There are some people who listen, and there are some people who got saved as our Lord walked this earth. They kept what he said to them. They got saved. They passed from death into life. They kept his saying. They listened to him, and they got saved. Well, we have that promise that there will be those people who will not listen, but he's saying here that there are also going to be those people who are going to listen, and those people will get saved. They will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because we tell them. It says, "If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Well, people persecute, and there are people who get saved, and we need to really thank the Lord for that, that people do listen, that they listen to the Lord's word, and that they too will be in heaven with us one day because we've all trusted Jesus as Savior. Verse 21, John 15 says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Before we know God the Father, we must know God the Son. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to seek and save those who were lost. And when we know him as Savior, then we know God the Father because he becomes our Father in heaven. Verse 21 again says, "But all these things will they do unto you." There will be some who ridicule you and persecute you, but there are also going to be those people who get saved. "They will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." That's the people who persecute you. They don't know him. They don't know God the Father who sent Jesus Christ. So therefore, they're going to persecute us. "If I had not come and spoken unto you," verse 22 says, "they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." No longer can man hide behind a cloak. In other words, no longer can they hide from their sin because Jesus Christ came to call it to their attention. Now, we know the Ten Commandments was given as a schoolmaster to us to help us to understand that we couldn't save ourselves, but Jesus Christ made it even clearer. He made it plainer. He said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Therefore, man could not hide any longer and say that they were all right. We get into the book of Romans and we see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is what Jesus was teaching as he walked this earth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't it hard to understand that there were people back then when Jesus walked this earth that hated him? And isn't it sad today that there are people who still hate our Savior, although he gave his life for them? Verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Now, this is hard to take, what I'm about to say, but those people who do not know Jesus as Savior, they hate God. They're enemies of God. They do not know him as their heavenly Father because they have not known the heavenly Savior who came to save them. Once they know Jesus as Savior, they know the heavenly Father. "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Isn't it sad that there's people today who hate Jesus? They do not love him. And therefore, they will not see him. They will not go to heaven, but they have a hell, a lake of fire that's waiting for them. They don't have to wait to be condemned because the Bible says that they are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They have not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father." Well, Jesus did many miracles. When Jesus did something, he didn't do it just to be doing it. He did it for a purpose. When he healed the blind and he raised the dead and he did all of the miracles that he did in this world, it was to let people know that they're sinners. He let people know that there's one day they're going to die and they're going to have to give an account of the things that they do in this life. And one of the things that they will give an account for is the thing that they did not do. If they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll have to give an account of that, that they have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin." He called sin to the attention of man in this world. And just as I quoted that verse from the book of Romans, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Jesus showed people this. They saw this as he walked this earth. Verse 25, "But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." People hated Jesus Christ. He had done nothing to them. He did nothing wrong. The Bible says no guile was found in his mouth. That means that he was sinlessly perfect. But yet, as he walked this earth, people hated him. People hate him today because he is the Savior. He represents God. He is God. And people hate him. And those people who hate him will die and go into a Christless hell till they're cast into the lake of fire. People need to know him as Savior. They need to know him today. Jesus came to bring attention that man was sinful and that man needed a Savior. And he is that Savior. Verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come," Jesus said, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And once again, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's getting ready to go to the cross now, and he says, after I'm going to send a comforter to you. And we read how that this is the Holy Spirit. And verse 27 says, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter to you, and he's going to help you. He's going to help you through the things that come into your life. And I think of today, of people who have lost loved ones, how that Comforter comes and he deals kindly with the heart. Now, when I pray for a person who's lost a loved one, I do not pray that grief would leave that individual. I pray that, Lord, would you make that grief a little easier? Would you ease the pain just a little, Lord? And I believe that's so important for us to remember that Jesus Christ not only saves us, but he gives us comfort through the Comforter, the Spirit of God. And I remind you of this as well, that when we get saved, the Comforter is within us. The Spirit of God indwells us. The real person is the soul. That is the soul of the person. This body that I have right now simply houses the real person, my soul. My soul is the real person. And this body's not going to heaven, but my soul will, because I've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And as I deal with individuals who have lost a loved one, I say, Lord, help that person to realize that one day, if they've been saved, they too will see that loved one once again. Help them with their grief right now, Lord, and see them through it. Well, my concern is not only for the saved people to be comforted, but my concern today is for that person who needs Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible speaks that without repentance, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Repentance means that a person comes to the Lord realizing they can't save themselves, that there is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. That person repents. In other words, that person has a change of mind. Instead of going their way, they're willing to go God's way. They're willing to let God turn them about and go into an opposite direction than which they have been going. And they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They know it, and they're willing to accept what he's done on the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus Christ came into this world some 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He walked this earth. He told people that he was the Savior. People refused, but Jesus Christ never refused them. He made a way for every person in this world to go to heaven. And if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that right now. You need to admit that you're a sinner, and that you're tired of going your way, that you want to go God's way. God's way is the way to heaven, and his way is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why don't you bow your head right now and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the grave, and that you're alive right now. Lord, I don't understand all of that, but I believe it. I'm taking it by faith. And I'm taking Jesus Christ as my Savior right now by faith. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. Change me so that one day I will be with you in heaven. Amen. If you'll pray a prayer like that, the prayer won't save you, but it's what you mean in your heart. It's what God has done for you. It's what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. That's what's going to save you and take you to heaven. May the Lord bless you as you live for him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.